I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
But I wanted to start with the United States of America. If you follow the news even a little bit, you know we're living in unusual times. We're still in the middle of a pandemic that has ravaged our country and our economy, but that's taken a back seat for the time being, crazy as that sounds, because of what happened 1 week ago today, specifically the incident during which Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin killed a man named George Floyd by placing his knee on his neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. Bystanders stood and watched. Three other cops stood by and watched. George Floyd, he told Derek Chauvin he could not breathe. He told him he believed he was about to die. But that knee still stayed on that neck until George Floyd took his last breath, and then that knee stayed there after George Floyd was dead for nearly another 3 minutes. Another dead black man killed by a cop in the streets for no good reason. And I know that the initial autopsy states that George Floyd did not die of asphyxiation. It cited underlying medical conditions. It cited possible intoxicants. But don't get it twisted. George Floyd's death was caused by Derek Chauvin. Derek Chauvin is the cause of death. A forensic pathologist made that clear today after an independent autopsy, and that's why Derek Chauvin has been charged with murder. And that's why, if there's any justice in this country, and it's reasonable to wonder if there is, given the history of these things, but again, if there is any justice in this country, Derek Chauvin will eventually be convicted and sentenced for the crime he committed. And just so we're clear, the three other officers that stood by and did nothing should be charged too. And don't take my word for it. The chief of the Minnesota Police Department was on TV last night. I don't know if you saw this, but he said the same thing. He was asked about the other three officers at the scene, and he explained that he's limited in what he can say publicly for obvious reasons. But he made it crystal clear that he believes if you were there and you were silent, you were complicit. And that's why the other three officers were fired, and it's why the chief of the Minneapolis Police Department suggested he believes they should also be charged in the death of George Floyd. Meantime, our country is burning, literally burning. Protests are happening in most American cities. Most of them have been peaceful. Memphis has been mostly peaceful, thank God. And hopefully that continues until the protests are over, because though I understand, because the quote has made the rounds, that Dr. King once said that a riot is the language of the unheard, that was not him encouraging or even condoning violence. That was him explaining violence. Black people in this country have been just abused forever, like since the jump, ignored forever. They told us how they were treated by police, and white people largely either didn't believe them or didn't care. And then everybody got iPhones. So then they started showing us what was happening. Tamir Rice, Philando Castile, Alton Sterling, Eric Garner. I could just sit here for the next 10 minutes and list names. It happens over and over again, and nothing. No charges or no convictions. Killings on video, nothing happens. So then Black Lives Matter becomes a thing, and then Colin Kaepernick becomes a thing. Peaceful protest in the NFL. And though the president, of the United States and the vice president of the United States now say that they support peaceful protest. They didn't support Colin Kaepernick and other NFL players when they peacefully protested. The president called those football players who were peacefully protesting, he called them, quote, sons of bitches. The president of the United States called peaceful protesters sons of bitches. So then a cop kills George Floyd on camera. We all watch it. And I'll be honest, I'm not 100% sure why this one is registering differently. But it's clearly registering differently. Perhaps it's because there's nothing spur of the moment about what Derek Chauvin did to George Floyd. This wasn't like a scared cop pulling a trigger. Yeah.
You can't say it was a bang bang kind of moment, like for lack of a better word.
He moved quickly. I thought he had a gun.
Right.
None of that. This was a bad cop unnecessarily restraining a man and ignoring his pleas for help until he literally took his final breath. That's what this was. This was a slow death over nothing. So maybe that's the explanation. Maybe that's why it's registering differently. Or it could just be that we're in the middle of a pandemic and thus free of the distractions that often help most Americans just move on quickly. Like you tweet something and then you'll watch a baseball game. Maybe that's the explanation. Or maybe it genuinely is a situation where we've decided enough is enough. Maybe that's it. Again, I don't know. But this one is clearly registering in a different way. And like I said, in some cases, the protests have turned to riots by both frustrated people and opportunists. But the message is clear either way from some. You wouldn't listen to the peaceful protest. But I bet you're listening now. I bet we have your attention now. And quite clearly they do. Like, I've spent the past 3 nights watching riots on television.
Yeah, me too.
It's almost like watching the Red Zone channel during the NFL season. And now let's take you to Philadelphia. And now the car is overturned in L.A. Like, I've been watching riots on television like it's a football game or something. The whole thing has been insane. And hopefully the worst of it is behind us, because though I understand why they happen, the riots, I don't like to see anybody's business or property destroyed. And I don't like to see good cops attacked. And I don't like to see young people put themselves at risk. So hopefully the worst of that, the riots, are behind us. Hopefully the best protests are ahead of us. But the riots are behind us. Fingers crossed. So anyway, I've been consumed with this all weekend. And I knew I wanted to write about it in some form. But, like, I'm a college basketball columnist, so I have to have a hook. So I'm thinking about how could I do this. And I remembered, we talked about it last week, back in 2016, we did that Candid Coaches series where we asked more than 100 college coaches, like, if you ever had a bad experience, a scary experience, interaction with law enforcement officials. And, like, roughly 80% of black coaches said yes. And honestly, I thought that was low. But the numbers are the numbers. 2 out of 10 people said no, but 8 out of 10 said yes, of course. What do you mean? What a dumb question. White coaches, almost none of them had a bad interaction with law enforcement official. And the ones who said they had, literally half of the ones who said they had, said it happened when they were with a black friend or a black coworker, black basketball player. And so I figure, well, this won't be hard to find a hook. All you got to do is call a couple of black coaches, text a couple of people, get them to tell you their stories. And so that's what I did. And on, I guess, Saturday, I reached out to Frank Haith. He's the head coach at Tulsa. Used to be at Missouri, used to be at Miami. And Frank and I have had conversations about this stuff before. And so I knew he'd be good. And I just reached out and I said, hey, do you have any story you want to share? And he sent me a link to a video about a man named Sean Bell. You familiar, Bennett, with Sean Bell?
No.
I wasn't either. Sean Bell was a young man, lived in New York City. And he had a bachelor party the night before he was to get married. like wedding on Saturday, bachelor party Friday night. I don't know if that's the smartest way to do it, but it's certainly a way to do it. So Sean Bell and a couple of his boys are out celebrating his marriage to be, wedding the next day. And something happens between somebody and a undercover cop. It leads to Sean Bell and his friends leaving a club. And then they're followed by uniformed policemen and policemen out of uniform. They have no weapon. And they were shot 50 times. 50 bullets fired in the direction. 50 bullets. One white cop fired 31 times. And Sean Bell was killed. Because it was after midnight, literally on the day he was to get married. Frank Hay told me, that's my nephew. That's my story. My nephew was killed by cops. They shot 50 times. One white cop fired 31 times. There were five cops involved. Three of them were charged. Guess how many got convicted? Zero. Because that's the way these things usually go. So then I reached out to David Cox. He's the head coach at Rhode Island. 47-year-old black man, grew up in Washington, D.C. I just texted him, same basic thing. He was like, I have too many experiences. Do I have any experiences? I have too many. And what you find out when you go down this road, like actually talk to people, if you're white, who don't look like you, and listen to them, what you find out is that not every black person ends up like George Floyd, obviously, dead in the streets. But most black men have an experience where they were scared they might. That's why David Cox told me he could remember when he was 6 years old, his mom sitting down with him and talking to him about the police. Here's what you do. Here's what you don't do. You don't move too quickly. You don't reach into your pockets. He said that is a conversation black mamas have with black boys in every house in America. I said, how often? He said, over and over again. It's not a one-time conversation. He said, my mama and I still have that conversation today. I'm 47 years old. We still talk about it. You be careful. I have a 17-year-old son. I have never talked to him about how to deal with the police. Never. It's never even occurred to me to. But according to David Cox, it's a conversation every black family has. So I said, do you have any stories? What are your stories? He said, well, I can remember the first. He said, I was 15, 16 years old. We were hooping. Just a group of me and my friends. No drugs, no guns, no problems. And he said, after we got through playing basketball, we were just hanging out in the parking lot like young people sometimes do. So picture eight black teenagers hanging out around a car in a parking lot. That's what we were doing. No drugs, no guns, no alcohol, no nothing. We just finished playing basketball. He said, but the cops came by and they didn't like what they saw. I said, well, what did they see? He said, black kids hanging out. They don't like that. He said, next thing you know, they've got us on the hood of the car. They're harassing us. They're cussing us. They keep us there for like 45 minutes. Keep in mind, we had not done a thing wrong. Nothing illegal. Nothing to provoke anything other than standing there looking the way we look. He said, and that was my first interaction with police. That's my first interaction. That's my memory. He said, but I got more. David Cox told me that he estimates in his life he's been pulled over for absolutely no reason. Like, listen, run a red light, pulled over, fine. Speeding, pulled over, fine. He estimates that he has been pulled over for doing nothing wrong 12 times for no reason in his life. He said of those 12 times, he's been removed from his car, car searched, him searched at least 6 times. He said there was one time where it was a white officer and a black officer pulled over for no reason. White officer wants to search the car. The black officer actually detained him and was essentially whispering to him, just stay calm, just stay calm. Like, don't do anything stupid because you don't know what will happen if you do something stupid. He said, I didn't have anything in the car. I wasn't doing anything wrong. But you don't know. He said, here's the thoughts going through my mind. They're going to plant something. Like, they'll get, if they want to get me, they'll get me. That lasted about 30 minutes. He said he was finally allowed to leave. And before he left, the black officer looked at him and said, I'm sorry. Pulled over 12 times for no reason, 6 times search. Now contrast that with your own life if you're white. I did. I'm 43. I've been pulled over plenty of times for good reason. I don't think I ever remember being pulled over for no reason. Every time I've been pulled over, I was doing something wrong. And of all the times I've been pulled over, I've only been asked to get out of my car 3 times, ever. And each time it was understandable. One time was because I was suspected of drinking and driving. I wasn't. But I had to get out and do the whole test and breathalyzer and everything else. Then I got back in the car and I left. So that's one time. They thought I was drinking and driving. Well, they asked you to get out of the car for that. So, like, whatever. Another time, I literally was only asked to get out of my car because I had a toy gun stuffed in between my seats. A toy gun that could have easily looked like a real gun. Now, this is how oblivious I am at the time to all of this type of stuff, is that it never even occurs to me that it might be dangerous for me to have a toy gun visible in the middle of my car. My roommates had bought it for me because this was a time where I'd done a story and I was getting a lot of death threats. So they're like, hey, you might need this cap gun. I took it and I rode around with it in the middle of my seats. So I get pulled over for like running through a red light. Cop is completely calm, but then sees that gun. And is like, you got to get out of the car. Don't move. And I'm like, what? I didn't know what he was doing. It scared me, but I didn't know what he's doing. Well, he saw a gun. He saw what he thought was a gun. Then they realized it was a toy gun. They let me go. But like, that's on me, right? I was asked to get out of my car because they saw what might have been a gun. Totally reasonable.
Yep.
And the third time was, and I've told this story before, I had headphones in while I was driving, listening to a podcast, because this was before Bluetooth and all that. And I was speeding down a highway in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma, trying to get to Oklahoma State University, trying to get to Stillwater. And I'm going like 90, and the cops turn their lights on. But I don't, and siren, I don't hear them because I've got headphones on. So I'm like in a high-speed chase, unintentionally. But I'm in a high-speed chase. Eventually, I see them in my rearview mirror. They ask me to get out of the car because they don't know, well, why are you running from us? I'm like, I wasn't running from you, as stupid as this sounds. I didn't know you were chasing me because I had headphones on. I was listening to something. So I was speeding, sure, and I was probably violating some sort of law by having headphones on. But I promise you, I wasn't running from you. And they laughed it off, and I left. I don't even think I got a ticket. Those are my experiences. That's it. Nothing. Nothing. In my experiences are like David Cox's experiences. And he didn't grow up in Mississippi or Alabama. He grew up in Washington, D.C. And so I don't want to say it was enlightening to talk to him. I know all this stuff. But it was just another reminder to talk to him that we are roughly the same age. And our experiences with law enforcement officials could not be more different. And David was important to point out. Hey, and my experiences, like on a scale of 1 to 10, he said, they're like 2s or 3s. They're nothing. But have I ever had a moment where I thought I was about to be killed? Yes. I said, what do you think when you watch the George Floyd video? He said, I think what every black man thinks. That could have been me. That's the thought we all have when we watch that. We are shocked, disappointed, hurt, angry, and then scared because we think that could have been me. And so I was on the phone with him for maybe 30 minutes yesterday. And before it was over, we were talking about all sorts of things. And David pointed out that he was encouraged that so many prominent white coaches, John Calipari, Bob Huggins, Tom Izzo, Mark Few, are tweeting their support for this cause. Sometimes, and in some cases, for the first time ever. Same thing with companies. Nike and Adidas retweeting each other. CBS Sports tweeting Black Lives Matter. Again, I don't know exactly why this one's registering differently. I have some theories. But undeniably, it's registering differently. And people who have never spoken on these issues publicly before are speaking out now. Tom Brady earlier today. And so one of the points David Cox made to me, he said, listen, GP, it's nice that all of these coaches and all of these people are stepping up. He's like, but what's next? He said, because this is going to happen again. He said, I promise you today there's another black man somewhere being hurt, maimed, or killed by a police officer. And it'll happen again tomorrow. And eventually it'll happen again on video. So then what? What's next? What do you do? Because it can't stop with a tweet. A really nice tweet can't be where the conversation stops. And so the question becomes, like, what can we do? And the first thing is obvious. You have to acknowledge that it's a problem. You have to acknowledge the inequality. You have to acknowledge that if you are white, you don't understand, or at least you don't experience the incidents that black people experience in this country. You have to acknowledge that. You have to acknowledge that black people are disproportionately targeted, harassed, and killed by law enforcement officials in this country. And it's been that way forever. You have to acknowledge that. You can't cite raw statistics. That's what dumb people do. You can't tweet all lives matter in response to black lives matter. That's what dumb people do. If you tweet all lives matter, all that tells me is that you are either dumb or racist, probably both. You have to acknowledge that there was a problem. And then you have to hold people accountable. And whatever part I can play into it is obviously small. But I do have a platform. And I have been talking about these things for years. For years and years and years and years. The Colin Kaepernick situation, the Michael Brown situation, the Trayvon Martin situation. I've never shied away from these conversations. The same things I'm saying today, I was saying 8 years ago, 6 years ago, 4 years ago, 2 years ago. But it is nice to now hear other people saying them and other people addressing the topic and other people willing to acknowledge, again, in some cases for the first time ever, that this is a real problem in this country that has to be addressed. That's obviously not the last step, but it's hopefully an encouraging first step.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.